tonight and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I look around, Brother Wayne, and aside from some of the ones that come from our church and a few others, it looks like it's mostly your people here tonight from your church, and that's a good thing, because tonight's message is directed toward church members, toward local church members, their duties, responsibilities, hopefully, and hopefully you'll be encouraged, hopefully you'll be challenged through God's Word tonight as we study together. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, begin with verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Our message tonight is the spirit of giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would be with us tonight in this service. And Lord, I just want to take some time and ask that you would be with the special requests that have been made. Lord, the circumstances that are touching the lives and the families, Lord, of this church and of this body, those that are sick, Lord, those that have physical needs, those, Lord, who are going through confusing times, Lord, just with several things they may have going on, that you would just bless, as has been mentioned for Pat's sister Pam. Lord, just the situation there and that issue, Lord, I pray that you would bless there. I think of our people, Lord, and I continue especially to pray for Gerald's sister Dana. Lord, as she hopefully this week is able to hear back from the doctor, her test results, and I just pray that you would comfort her heart, Lord, cheer her as much as possible, Lord, that you would even be now with the doctors as they interpret these results, and Lord, that you might just bless there in that situation. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would be with our church tonight, the service here, that you'd be with each member here of this church and of other churches, that you would challenge our hearts, Lord, that you would help us to see through your word, Lord, how we might be more faithful, how we might serve you better, and Lord, that you would just challenge us, Lord, to walk closer with you, be a good example for you, be a good witness to those that are around us. I pray especially again, Lord, for those tonight that are lost and don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And though I know our message isn't specifically directed that way, I know that your Spirit has power and uses your Word. And Lord, even through some of these other passages, you can speak to lost souls, and I pray that you do so. I ask all these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The spirit of giving. Now, I guess it's safe to say that that type of spirit isn't bred in us naturally. We live in a world of mutual exchange. There's no such thing as anything free. So the idea of a giving spirit sometimes can seem foreign to us. Now in our text, Paul is writing the Corinthian church and he brings up the subject of giving. He mentions that he was going to have this church take up a collection for the saints. And in this passage, Paul gives us some very good principles about giving. Now certainly the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 concerns money. Is a financial text. That is not the way that we want to take our focus tonight. We do not want to take our focus. We're not aiming this at financial things, but as much as we are the spirit of giving. And I want to take this text and draw some ideas from it and hopefully challenge you tonight. Four things that we want to bring out. First of all, number one, giving is personal. Giving is personal. Now here in this passage it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. That word ye is plural, all of you. Upon the first day of the week, here's what we want to look at. Let every one of you lay by him in store. Giving is personal. Now this message was intended to be read amongst the entire church, each ear being audience to it. And Paul's message was that each one of them should take a part in giving. Each one of them should have a giving spirit. You know, I think each member of the church ought to look and strive to do what he or she can. In whatever way that God has blessed you with, in whatever way that you have an ability, I think that every member of a local church should strive to be part of that church. To be active, to be an I struggle sometimes when I hear people say, well, how many active members do you have? I hope all of them. I mean, I hope that they're all active. I hope that we don't have members who just are, you know, kind of there, hanging out. You know, I want to know that all of our members are active. I believe that each member of the church has something that they can do. I believe that each member of the church has a spiritual gift. I believe that when the Lord saves someone, He gives them a gift as He adds them to His local church. And it says here, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. Now this subject of giving had come up before in Paul's ministry. Turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, not long after we're introduced to Paul, or Saul as he was still called there. Acts chapter number 11, verse 29, it says, then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. But I just want you to see verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability. Okay? The spirit of giving is something that is intended to affect us all. We should all have a spirit that strives to give and be active, be a help to one another, be a help to your pastor, be a help to your family, to the rest of your church, to the other members. Okay, now back in our text in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1, I just want you to see, lest you take this and look at it differently, as though Paul is only speaking there to those who are the super rich, you know, or that have super abilities or super talents, and those that might be better than everyone, you know, physically speaking. That is not what he's talking about here, okay? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. You see, Paul's message, this wasn't even just for the church at Corinth. This is the same message he says that he sent to the churches of Galatia. You know, he is writing and he is challenging all the local churches and all the members of each one to have this spirit of willingness to give. See, Brother Philip, are you talking about money? Because I just don't, you know, I don't know if I have that much to give. And I hope that you see tonight that's not what I'm talking about. You know, I just want to know, do you have a spirit of giving? Are you willing to give, you know, of your talent or your time or giving of yourself? You know, there's a lot more to giving than the financial aspect and then money. How about giving of yourself and giving of your time? You know, Mandy and I, we've been married for almost 3 years. And we've had a couple rounds of holidays, a couple rounds of birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's Day, all those things we've gone through a couple times. And, you know, I like on those, you know, occasions, I'll ask Mandy, you know, hey, you know, what would you like, you know? And, you know, a lot of times she'll end up saying something like, you know, she wants to do this with me or go somewhere with me, or she'd like to spend time with me doing this or going here, going there. You know, a lot of times the gift that she wants is me. Now, I know y'all can't believe that. And I know that you're thinking, good night, Mandy, take the money and run. But she wants to spend time with me. She loves me. And sometimes the greatest gift to her is when I simply give of myself, just of my time, spend time with her, to think about her. You know, she loves me, and she wants me. And a lot of times the gifts that Mandy wants are things that money can't buy. So you see, giving isn't always about money. And some of you have got that idea in your mind, and every time someone says the word give, you immediately go to the financial aspect. Don't think of it that way. You know, the Lord wants you to give, but He wants you to give of yourself. That's what the Lord wants. He wants you to give of yourself. Sometimes the gift that you give is simply that, you. And I want to ask you tonight if you have that attitude toward the Lord. Do you have an attitude that is willing and ready, a spirit of giving to the Lord? I think the Lord wants us to have that. I think that the Lord wants us to have a spirit sometimes that's willing to step beyond ourselves, not be so focused on ourselves sometimes, but be willing to do and give and be things to others and for others. Just ask yourself some questions sometimes, you know, what can I do? You know, what can I do for someone? What can I be for someone? What can we do for each other? No, ask those kind of questions when you want to give. Listen, make giving personal. Okay? Quit thinking about the financial for a few minutes. Just look at what you can do. You know, go up to a brother or sister in Christ that you know is struggling and just put your arms around them and just ask, what can I do? You know, maybe they'll say nothing, but have the spirit that's willing, though, you know, to give, to help, and to be for others. And have a spirit that's willing to do for others. Every one of you, he said. And he said, I told this to the churches in Galatia, and I'm telling it to the church of Corinth. Every one of you, okay? Every one of us. Giving should be personal. Giving of ourselves. Number two, giving is periodic. Now it says here in verse number two, 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week. I believe that having a real spirit of giving teaches us that giving is periodic. Now certainly, again, the text would refer to a giving, a financial giving of gifts and how we are supposed to give to the Lord's work. Certainly we believe about, you know, scriptural tithing and the giving of offerings. But I want to take another aspect of this. I want to look at another lesson of this. I think that giving should be periodic. I think that giving should be a pattern in our lives. You know, that's what he's saying here in this verse. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. You know, the pattern is set up that, you know, we give our tithes weekly on the first day of the week. We come and we give our tithes into the storehouse, and we make that a weekly thing. It becomes a pattern in our lives. I think the rest of giving should be too. I think that we should make giving of ourselves, you know, doing for others, make it a pattern in our lives. You know, giving doesn't have to be a one-time thing or a special occasion thing. You know, I was talking about Mandy and the kind of gifts that she likes, and you still can't believe that she likes me. But, you know, she wants me and wants to spend time with me. And she's told me before, though, she says that she likes just because gifts. Y'all ever hear that? Hear that from your wife? You know, she likes just because gifts. It's not her birthday. It's not our anniversary. It's not a holiday. It's just a just because gift. Just, you know, I was out. I was thinking about her. And I did something for her. And I think about that, and she does that kind of stuff all the time for me. Mandy will be out, and, you know, she'll be in the store, and, you know, she always thinks about me. It don't matter if it's, you know, stopping and getting me a soda on the way home or getting a candy bar for me at work, or not at work, but at the store, you know, like I need more of those. But she, you know, she's always doing, you know, even just little things like that. She's always thinking about me. She don't hardly ever do anything for herself that she don't do something for me. Never. She never does. And you know what? I'm not near as good at that as she is. I'm not near as good as she is. But we should be. You know, she makes giving toward me a pattern in her life. She's always thinking about me. And I would challenge each one of you to make giving a pattern in your life. Thinking of others, caring for others, and doing for others. Make that a pattern in your life. Does it have to be a special occasion for me to do something for Mandy? Not at all. Does it have to be a special occasion for you to call up your brother and sister in Christ? And maybe they're struggling, maybe they're not struggling. Maybe you just call them up and say, hey, I've been thinking about you, and you know, I've been praying for you. I don't even know if anything's going on, but I just wanted to call and tell you that. Does it have to be a special occasion? No. But I'm saying these kind of things because I'm the worst at this. You know, I always remember to send cards when somebody's sick. I always remember to send cards, you know, thank you cards to someone who's, you know, had me somewhere or put me up somewhere. I always remember those kind of things. But what about, you know, what about just because? You know, why isn't giving a pattern in my life? Just without special occasion, without special notice, just of myself, just giving of my time, just giving of my thoughts sometimes for other people, for whoever it may be. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, we need to make giving a pattern. It needs to be periodic in our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Here's what he says, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, Paul's telling Timothy here, he's giving them this charge that they be ready to distribute. That's what he says there in verse 18. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Notice those two words, ready and willing. Okay? And Paul, you tell here, verse 18, he doesn't mention money at all. He says, you know, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, but at all times that they be ready and willing. You know, it's a pattern at all times that they're ready to do those kind of things. You know, that's what it should be in our lives. Ready and willing. It doesn't have to be a special occasion, wherever it is, whenever it is. And Paul tells Timothy the reason why here, verse 17. God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know, God is, you know, the Lord is always given to us, isn't He? The Lord is always given to us. Every day that goes by, there is some type of blessing. There's some type of unknown blessing sometimes. We don't think about them much. Sometimes we don't even notice them. We're not very thankful or appreciative or grateful sometimes. But He gives us all things richly to enjoy. God is blessing us all the time. I'm thankful that the Lord does, you know, just because things. I'm thankful the Lord does just because things because I'm His child. And He blesses and He gives and He just pours out blessing after blessing. He just does it. Day after day, time after time. I think we should strive to do the same thing. I think, you know, when we think of what God has done for us and how He gives us richly all things to enjoy, then you read verse 18, knowing that God gives you and gives and gives and gives to you, why don't you then take and give to others? Why don't you give some of your time to others and some of your energy, some of your talent to see others encouraged and challenged? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 15, it says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, okay, the beginning of Paul's ministry there, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, the Philippians on multiple occasions were gracious in giving to the Apostle Paul. And you know what Paul said? He said that was well-pleasing to God. He said that was well-pleasing to the Lord. You know, you should know that what you do, when you simply have a heart of service, a heart that empties itself for the betterment of others, for the encouragement of others, you know, not only do other people notice that, but the Lord notices it too. When you simply give of yourself, when you do something to serve others or to serve the Lord, He notices that. This was a sweet smell, a sacrifice, well-pleasing to the Lord. Listen, I want to challenge you to give. And I don't know what you have to give. You know what? You know, there are some people in this world who are like Epaphroditus. You know what Epaphroditus did? He carried the letter. You know that? He was the messenger boy. He was the mailman. He carried the letter. But you know what? The letter don't get there unless somebody's willing to give of their time, unless somebody's willing to give us some energy just to give up a few things and say, hey, I'll carry the letter to Paul, or I'll carry the letter back to the church. Somebody's got to do it. And here you got this guy named Epaphroditus, and you don't know anything about him. You don't know anything else about him, just that he carried the letter. That's all you know about him. But what a, you know, it's an act of service, isn't it? It was just an act of service that he did for a friend, for Paul, for a fellow church member, for his church there. We should make giving a pattern in our lives. we should strive to do things and be things for others. You know, if I did things for Mandy, and I'm not as good at it as I should be, but if I only did things for Mandy on her anniversary or on her birthday, you know, after a while, Mandy's going to wonder what's wrong with our relationship. You know, it don't take a big man to do something for his wife on their anniversary. It don't take a big man to do something for his wife on her birthday. But I tell you what, if I never did anything else besides those things, you know, Mandy'd really start to wonder, do I care? You know, do I care? Do I seek to please her? Do I seek to want to be there for her and cherish her and love her? You know, she'd start to wonder, you know, just because things are good every now and then too. You know, and I'm preaching that to me more than anybody else that's here. You know, we should strive to make it a pattern. Hey, on the first day of the week, you know what it's like on the first day of the week to come to church and give of your money and the tithing. You know, but what about weekly or monthly, you know, making a habit? You know, maybe who can I call today? Or can I go visit somebody? Or you know, what's my pastor need? Does he need any help here? Does he need any work done at the church? Can I go mow the lawn? What can I do? What can I do to be a servant and to be a help to others that are around? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Listen, I'm just trying to challenge you. I want to challenge you to see the spirit that is in you, and to see and to challenge and rebuke the spirit of selfishness and greed that I see in myself so many times. I'm tired of being selfish and greedy all the time. You know, I feel sometimes I don't do hardly anything for others. I feel it inside, and I don't want to be that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. And here's our next point, number 3. As God hath prospered him. Number 3, giving is proportionate. The Bible says, as God has prospered him. Do you know that God expects you to give as He has blessed you? Some of you here, and I would say, I don't know everyone here in this church, especially personally, you know, the deep things, but just the churches that I have been at and the pastor of my church, I would dare say that there are some of you here today who have been blessed, and you have great talents, and you have great energy, but there's some of you that probably don't give to your full potential. Probably don't give as God has prospered you. Now, I do know some of you. I know that there in this church, there are some people that have got great talents. I don't know how many piano players you got, and guys that lead the singing, you know, all those kind of, I don't know how many, you know, people have talents. I know there are people in this church that, you know, you're creative. You know, people in this church are creative. You know, have great minds, creative minds that can do things. Some of you have got great talent with your hands. You can build things. You can do things. You can be a help in those areas. Some of you have got really good, sweet spirits about you. You've got good, outgoing personalities. You know, God has blessed different ones in different ways. Each one has got a different gift. God has given to each one as it's pleased Him, but God has given all of us gifts and talents and set different energies. You know, but sometimes we don't give to our full potential. We don't take the talent that God has given to us and the blessings that He has given to us, and we're not always ready and willing to distribute, willing to communicate. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, listen to this, is given to every man to profit with all. For to everyone is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And it mentions several gifts here. And of course, we know that some of those were temporary sign gifts that were for the apostolic age. But I want you to see verse number 11. It says, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit dividing to every man severally as He will. And as it's talking about spiritual gifts there in that passage of Scripture, do you know what the next passage is about? It's about the church being a body. You know, a lot of preachers like to preach on the church is the body of Christ. but they hardly ever preach on, you know, that means that each individual member has a personal role, a personal part, a personal job to do in the body of Christ. A church is like a body, okay? And you know what? A body has eyes, and it has ears, and it has hands, and it has feet. And every piece of the body works together for the good of the whole. And that's what the Independence Baptist Church is. It's several members with different gifts and different parts, and they all work together for the good of the whole. And each of you have a gift, and each of you have an ability. And some of you may be the foot, and some of you may be the hand, but you're a part of this body. Be an active member of your church. Man, give of your time. Give of what God has given you to be a part of your church. Listen, you say, well, Brother Philip, I just don't really have a lot of talents. I don't know exactly what I can do. You know, I got parts in my body that I don't know exactly what they do. Okay? I don't know what in the world an appendix does. Okay? I don't have a clue. But you know what? I know that I'm not ready to have surgery and have it removed. I'm not ready. I don't know what hardly any of the parts inside me do, but I don't want to get rid of any of them. You know? I want each part of the body, I want to know that, hey, it's there, it's serving its purpose, and it's working together for the good of the whole. Okay? That's what you are. That's what you are. If you're a member of Independence Baptist Church, you may not be this hand, and you may not be the eye, and you may not be the brain, and you may not be the feet, but you are a part of this body. And it says here in this entire passage, down there in verse number 24, for our comely parts, it says our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You know, there is not one member of this church that's any more important than the other. There's not one member. And it don't matter who the oldest member is or who the youngest member is. They each have a part and have a role to play. You know, some of the young people that you have here that are saved and that are members of this church, you know what? They probably don't have the wisdom that some of the older members have. You know, that's just the way life is. Younger saved individuals, members, they don't have the wisdom and they don't always have the know-how to do things like the older members know how. But you know what? A lot of times those younger members, you know what younger people have? They got energy. And they got strength. And they got ability. You know, they've got that, and you older members wish you had that. Don't you? There's some of you older members that I would dare say you would give away maybe a little bit of the wisdom that you have to have the strength and the ability and the energy again. You see, every member of the body, none of you are the same, but you all work together for the good of the whole. That's how a church is supposed to work. That's what this whole passage is about. It's about the church, and we're members in particular. We're a body. But that is prefaced with, you know what? Each member has a gift. Each member has been put in this church by the Holy Spirit. And man, you need to be active and be a part of your church. You need to be active in this church, giving where you can, doing what you can, and be a part of your church. Be a part here. God gives, and He expects us to give as He has prospered Him. Now, in Mark chapter 12, Jesus Christ gave the ultimate lesson on proportion, proportionate giving. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And that's okay. That's all right. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. She didn't give very much. You know what? As far as comparison, she didn't give anything. She didn't give much at all. Verse 43, and he called unto him his disciples, and he said unto them, verily, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now Jesus Christ took his disciples aside and he said, listen, I want you to see this. I want you to learn something here. That woman Didn't really give much, did she? She just gave a couple, you know, a couple of pieces, maybe a couple of pennies. That's all she gave. You know, these other guys, man, they were opening their wallets, writing big checks, casting in all kinds of money, you know. But Jesus Christ said, you know what? Really want to know how I think about this? I think she gave more than any of them. You know why? Because she gave all that she had. You know, when she opened her wallet, she gave everything that was in it. She gave everything that she had. All of her living she put there into the treasury. Now, the other guys that came, now they gave a lot more. Now, they may have opened their wallet and had $1,000 in it, and they cast in $900. And that's 90%. That's a ton. That's a lot. But Jesus Christ said, you know, the way that I look at it, you see, God views proportion. And she gave all that she had. She gave all that she had. That's, you know, I want you to see that that's how God works. You know, God never, you know, with us, He doesn't put a certain number on it. You know, when we speak of a tithe and we talk about a tenth, that's what it is. It's not a set number. That's a proportionate giving. That's proportionate. You know, somebody who makes $100,000 a year, that's a pretty good amount of money to take as a salary, makes $100,000, a tithe on that would be $10,000. Now, if somebody else makes half of that, makes $50,000, their tithe is $5,000. Now, the guy that made more gave more, but not in the eyes of God. The way that God looks at it, He didn't give more. You know why? Because they both, in God's eyes, they both gave the same. Because they both gave the same. God doesn't look at specific financial dollar figures. God looks at the heart. And God looks at the proportion that is given. He asks that we give as He has prospered us. Now, God has given some of you talents, and He's given some of you abilities, and you're not using them in His service the way that you should. And I want to challenge you to get rid of that spirit, to get rid of the spirit of selfishness, the spirit of greed, and listen, I got it sometimes, but I don't want to have it. You know, I want to take God. God has blessed me. God has prospered me and my wife, my family, our church, and I want to give as He has prospered us. I want to give that way. The way that He has given me, He's given me richly all things to enjoy. And He asks that I just give as He has prospered me. God doesn't ask you to give what He asked me to give. You know that? God doesn't ask me to give what He asked you to give. But He asks that we give as He has prospered us. Give you one example. I don't think God expects me to play the piano. I don't have that talent. I don't have that ability. You know? But the Lord, you know, the Lord's called me to preach. You know what the Lord expects out of me? The Lord expects me to study. And the Lord expects me to do the best that I can to preach a good message and to rely on the Spirit for power and for liberty. He asks me to do those things, to give as He has prospered me. Now, if He's given you a talent, maybe what God has given you, maybe God's given you more time. Maybe you've got more time than others have. Maybe you're a younger one. Maybe you've got more energy than some of these older ones do. Maybe you need to take some of the load here at church. Maybe you need to volunteer to do a little bit more of the grunt work around the church, you know, that some others are doing. You know, God has prospered you. You have blessings, talents, abilities, and spiritual gifts. And God asks that as He has richly and abundantly given to you, that you return those blessings to Him and to others. Giving's proportionate. Now, I can't remember, I may have told you the story of a lady I knew at a church over in Ohio. Her name was Sheila. And she was in a wheelchair. She wasn't able to walk. She really wanted to go door knocking with the church, but she just couldn't. You know, she was in a wheelchair and couldn't go door knocking. You know what she said one time, and if I've told you this, forgive me for repeating stories, but she said, you know what, I know I can't go door knocking. But he says, if anybody else in the church wants to go door knocking, and you want to drop your kids off here at the church, I'll man the nursery that night and watch all the kids so that others could go door knocking. You know what she was doing? She was giving proportionately. Giving as God hath prospered her. You know what? She didn't have the ability to go door knocking. But she took the ability that she had to watch the kids for a couple hours so others could go door knocking. You know what? God blesses that spirit. And God blesses that willingness. And I've said it before, and I believe that if someone was saved that night when they went out door knocking, I think she gets the soul winner's crown too. for her spirit of willingness to do what she can to make sure the men and women of our church could go door knocking. Just a spirit that gives and it's willing to give. Tell you what, there is nothing that's more encouraging to a pastor and to a fellow Christian than seeing other people serve the Lord. You know what? Since we've been, and I'm going to brag on my church for a little bit here, since we've been at Salem, I haven't had to mow the grass once. You know what? And since we've been at Salem, I haven't had to touch the sound system. I've only had to teach Sunday school a couple times. And the only class that I've had to teach is the adult class. We've had men and women who stepped up to the plate, and when people have been gone, they've been willing to stand up and fill roles and take part. And man, as a pastor, that's encouraging to me to see how just other people are just willing and they give of their time. You know, we've just got Sunday school teachers and people that work the sound system and mow the lawns and clean the church and just people that give of their time. You know, those aren't positions that paid, and those aren't positions that get much honor and glory. But people do them. They do them. And as the pastor, we don't have to do those jobs. And it frees us up for more time to study and to make visits and do other things. And I love to see other people when they just serve the Lord and they just give of their own time and they give of their own heart. I think the Lord wants us to do that. Give as God has prospered. That's what you do. If God has prospered you, He expects you to give. If you have more time to serve the Lord than others, I think He wants more time. In whatever way that He's blessed you more than others, He wants you to return that to Him in His service. Acts chapter 20, fourthly and lastly, giving is precious. Giving is precious. Did you know that giving blesses the heart of God? When His people will take of their time, they'll take of their talent, they'll take of their energy, they'll take of their abilities, and they'll give, and they'll just do for others. You know, they don't do it for reward, they don't do it to be seen, they do it to be a help and encouragement. You know, that blesses other people. When I hear, you know, that someone called so-and-so, I like that. When I hear somebody at church say, hey, I got a card in the mail, I don't even have to know who it's from. I'm encouraged that someone, hey, I don't have to know who it was. I know that, hey, one of my church members sent a card to another one. That makes me excited. You know what? I know if that blesses me, it blesses the heart of God. When His people serve each other and when they serve Him. Acts 20, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 7. With good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You know, the Lord watches. And man, giving is precious. You know, when God's people, you know what happens? It's a funny cycle how this works out. When God gives and He richly blesses and He just gives to you and gives to you, you know what happens when you humble yourself and you give to others and you serve to others? You know what happens? God always gives you more, doesn't He? And you know what? And then you give to others and you serve others and you give to the Lord and He gives you more. And then you give, and then He gives. And you give, and it's a cycle, it's a recurring cycle that goes on and goes on and goes on as long as we live in these bodies, as we serve the Lord as Christians. That cycle never ends. He blesses, and as we give back to Him, He blesses again. That's what it says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Colossians 3 and verse 24. Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Do you know when you serve the people of Christ, you serve Christ? Do you know that when you serve in the name of Christ, you serve Christ? Whatever service that you do, and you may think, well, I was just making a phone call, or, you know, they were sick, and you know, I just cooked them dinner Thursday night. You know what you serve? You serve the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord in doing those things. And let me just be honest. Sometimes I don't even think it has to be a fellow believer. You know, you took in your heart initiative and you took the energy and time to serve someone and to be an example and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye serve the Lord Christ. Listen, folks, I want to challenge you tonight as each individual member of this church. You are a member of Independence Baptist Church, members of our church. Give. Give. Give of your time. Give of your talents. Give of the energy that you have. You older ones, man, the wisdom that you have can be such an asset, such a challenge to the younger ones. Share that with them. Challenge them. Speak to them. You younger ones, why don't you take some of the load off the backs of these older ones? Why don't you help your pastor out? Help some of the older members here of this church out. You know, you ones that are in the middle, you know, the middle-aged ones, take the leadership roles. Be an example for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just give and serve the Lord. Ye serve the Lord Christ. And whatever is done in His name and it's done for His honor and His glory, the Bible says that He sees it's better to give than to receive. And whatsoever you do, it says there, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And you're serving the Lord. You're serving God and you're serving Jesus Christ when you give. And you give of your heart. And you don't give to be seen. You don't give for reward. You just give. You just give. The Lord blesses that. Folks, I challenge you tonight. I want to rebuke in my life that spirit. Selfish and it's greedy. I'm tired of living that way. I'm tired of having the attitude, well, what's in it for me? Or, well, how much do I get paid for it? Or you know, who's going to notice? You know, is anybody going to be there to see me do it? I don't want to live that way. I don't want to be that way. You know what? It don't matter where I am or what I'm doing. I'm serving the Lord Christ. I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I give Him my heart and do it humbly and willingly, He sees. And He said in Matthew chapter 6, when you give your alms and you do it in secretly, you know, the Father that sees, He rewards openly. He blesses in just such a way. When you open your heart, God will fill it back up. When you give of yourself, He'll never let you run dry. He will never let you run out if you're willing to give and willing to do. For the Lord.